This is August 25th, and the next meeting will be September 29th, 1991, in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Good morning, Bartholomew.
Well then, my friends, good morning. And it's very nice to be with you again. I think today I would like to respond to several requests that have come from people for various reasons who have been in just a moment's notice thrown from a sweet, gentle, comfortable life into one of fear and despair. This can happen, of course, through a sudden death or through the discovery of an illness in a family, either yours or others, or so on. So I'd like to respond, because the question has been how, as this is unfolding, in the moment of the fear and the pain and the sorrow, what would be suggestions for motion in this time of stress? Well, first of all, you have to realize, please, that anything that we say in general is not going to apply necessarily in particular. But just to give you a broad outline of the mechanism that goes on, the psychic happening that happens when such an event moves into your life very, very quickly. Let us say that one moment you are standing there with your life all in good order and good love and centered awareness, and to whatever extent you have been pursuing your path through peace, through meditation, through being as loving as you know, whatever it is, your way. And then all of a sudden, from the seeming outside, something comes along and jerks you out of that complacency, out of that peace, out of that happiness, out of that love. Now, right here, you must understand the reason that we ask you to come together, lo, these many years, is that slowly but surely, whether you are aware of it or not, every time that you hear from whatever source that there is a dynamic, alive, absolutely loving energy field of compassion and wisdom and safety that is constantly in and around you, every time that you hear that, a certain part of your psyche begins to relax. People come to me and they say, tell me whether I should follow this teacher, this one, read this, what. The answer is always the same. If you find that you approach a body of information and one of your major responses is a relaxation in the body, a sense of all's well, there is a God and God is in his or her heaven doing whatever his or her job is, however that works for you. But every time you hear it from whatever source, a part of you that has been under stress since you took Earth birth begins to relax slowly and slowly and slowly. So the only criteria I have for any lessons you might learn on any level, any teaching you might enjoin yourself with, please, my friends, if it gives you the sense of this wondrous something magical power that is always there to help you, regardless of your mental, emotional, physical understanding or well-being, if you are told that this magnificent, mysterious wonder is always there without judgment to be used, to be taken in great, great armfuls into your being, if that is what they say to you, then please continue it. If, on the other hand, it produces in you a fear, a tension, an awareness, Dr. Aiken, I am so pleased to see you. My love, Mrs. Aiken. If, on the other hand, there is a tension within the body, if there is a tension within the mind, if you find yourself going back to those moments in the past where you wondered if you and God were on the same frequency, or whether perhaps you were on the wrong one, and no doubt the lower one, and somehow had to make your way to this higher frequency, if this is the tension that comes back into your life, then I ask you to reconsider, because we have said it until I know you would all like to just never hear it again, the one one criteria for really allowing yourself to move into states of enlightenment or God understanding or bliss or joy or love is the relaxation of the physical, mental, and emotional bodies, which then allow for the release of what is always ever present and contained within the physical body. So, what happens in grief, what happens in fear, and you all know, is a tension within the body, is it not? The first response is one of, I'm afraid. I'm afraid. I'm afraid of the future. I'm afraid of the present. I have no knowledge of where this is going to go. What is the footsteps? How can I move? And so on and so on. Now, all of those feelings are natural, based on the teachings that you have received. They are natural based on the teachings that you have received. They are unnatural based on your nature. I will repeat. They are unnatural based on your nature. Your true nature is knowing. Your true nature is a place within you that can present itself as saying, no matter what the difficulty, no matter what the terror, no matter what is going on, there is this wondrous place within when you just simply learn to sink back into it in spite of the situation on the external, will provide you with that wondrous accepting, that wondrous cushion of knowing, that wondrous blending of your fear with it. My friends, please understand, there is a great deal more of peace and love and joy and compassion and understanding than there is your fear. Whatever your fear at that moment, please remember what you've heard this day. In the midst of that, there is so much more around, an abundant magnificence. Now, we have asked you, as many moments of your day, before those frightening moments arise, to have spent time moving from whatever is your limitation in the moment into the vastness. We have asked you to drop into it over and over again. Remember? 100 times a day, 200 times, 1,000 times, whatever. And of course, it is obvious that if you have been doing this, you know, don't worry so much about health insurance or life insurance or psychiatric insurance. What you really need is God insurance, which is the knowing that begins to resound within you as a reality in your energy field that says, all is well, all is well. In spite of this disaster, there is a part that knows it's well, all is well. There is no need to move into terror. Now, that is so easy to say while you're sitting here this day. But it is a much different thing when these things arise in your life. Now, so then, what would be the suggestion? First of all, we repeat what we have said before. As many times, in spite of your shaking, in spite of the tension within your body, in spite of the mind, have you noticed how the mind goes into almost an imprisoned ritual? It's blocked. And every road that you take, it's in the same road. You haven't left the room. You're still there. You try, you scurry to escape. And where are you? You're still where you were. The thoughts go around and around. And you go to sleep at night, trying to fall into sleep. And there they present themselves in some kind of form. You're entrapped. What you're trapped in is a thought form that is absolutely filled with the terror and the fear. Now, what is the answer? You all know this. Let's just re-remember. All right? Remember the rules? This is just you up here talking. Just you talking to you. No thing special. Just another part of yourself up here reminding you. So what to remind you? Every other thought, no matter how terrified you might be, if you would please put in the thought that says something like, in the midst of all of this, there is the bliss, there is the peace, there is the sweetness, there is the love, there is the compassion, there is God now, in this, now, now, now. Now you say to me, the next moment, I'm back into my fear, and I say, yes, you will be. Go into it fully, not half-heartedly. Feel it, think it with all your consciousness. Be alive to it. Do you understand? Don't run. The first action that limitation wants to say is, this is too much. You can't deal with it. Run away, run away. In all of the many ways. The main way that you run away is you distance yourself so that it takes sometimes months before you finally find yourself back again. Do you understand? You find yourself back again in the midst of the terror. Because the mind just says, well, you've lived 2 months with this event, you'll make it. So now you participate. Well, you don't want to wait those 2 months if you can avoid it. If you can't, then go ahead. But what we're asking is to realize that as you take your thought out of the fear and with all of your will, and my friends, there is no one in this room that doesn't have sufficient will for this, you simply pull your focus of awareness out of that fear package, that prison, and you choose to place it in the place where your, if you like the words, your salvation is, where your love is, where the compassion is, where God is. You remember all of the truth about the vastness of God that your fear has allowed you to forget. And you place yourself there again and again. And what happens to you? You begin to loosen up your hold. You will find the third day, the fifth day, the seventh day, the 12th day, something has begun to lessen. Now, does this take concentration? Absolutely. This takes the willingness to trust that this incredible nightmare that you are living in is not the only dream, that there are other realities alive and well that you can merge with for a moment. The idea, my friends, that you have to continue in your incredible grief moment after moment is what's catching you. Do you understand? Let me say this again. Your ego has tried tremendously to give you the idea that you are a continuous person. And you remember the teaching? You are not a continuous person. In fact, every friend you know can tell you, you are not a continuous person. You are not a consistent person. And you are absolutely mad if you think that I am experiencing you as a consistent person. And you do not experience yourself with any consistency. And you don't experience your others. You don't experience anything with consistency. For example, you have a beautiful tree outside your window. Does it say to you, I'm going to be consistent? Ah, the best trees in the world say, I'm going to be as inconsistent as I can possibly be. Because in the inconsistency comes the joy, comes the dance, comes the fun. You think a tree wants to always be the same? You don't want to always be the same. Why would you want a tree to continue to be in some kind of consistency? Now, you understand this for your entire world, but when it comes to the ego's delight, it is to keep you thinking that somehow your job is to be consistent moment after moment. I have tried many, many ways and will continue in what time remains to hope to break down that view of yourself that you even need to be consistent. You don't. The fun comes with inconsistencies. The leaping from now here to now this thought, now this work, now this emotion, now this relaxation, now this wonder, now this difficulty, in and out, in and out. When you lock in and say, I am this and you must be that, You are no longer friends to each other. Because what you are saying is, you must be this way. You must always be this way. And if you are not this way, I become nervous. So you have to stay the same so that I won't be nervous. Well, the funny thing is, of course, that everybody is saying the same thing and everybody is being totally inconsistent. And I'd like for you in the next month, before we return again, would you watch your own delightful dances of inconsistency in your own thoughts, in your emotions? Watch yourself. Of any kind, over other people, over your own thoughts about anything. Just watch the wonderful dance, and if you can, to whatever extent, begin to get a sense of the motion that you have within your being that allows you to dance from one being to the next. You're not the same with your children as you are with your friend. Why should you be? Your friend would be insulted. Or maybe it's the other way around. Maybe your children would be insulted. There is no necessity. And when you begin to liberate yourself and others from this gnawing consistency that is demanded, then you begin to loosen up. You begin to have, excuse me, some fun. You begin to relax around all the incredibly delightful complexities which are who you are. You are not one thing. You are not one person. You are not one reality. You are not one belief structure. You are an amazingly excited combination of all kinds of beliefs stuck together by time-space. And only time-space. The glue that holds all this together is time-space. And when you move out of time-space, you are going to have, I don't encourage you, I always have to say this, I'm not encouraging you to hasten the process along, but when the time comes that you move out of time-space, you're going to begin to know precisely what we're referring to. It's the excitement of experiencing all the wondrous dancings of all the different belief structures that move through you at all times, now urging this, now urging that, now asking for this, now asking for that. It's this dance of your being. It's the dance of being that moves from all of the depths. Now, one way of talking, which is a very common way of approaching these things these days, is that you are all of the archetypes. And please don't think that your job is to take your favorites and pull them close to you and ask the rest to, you know, visit somebody else. Because I want to warn you, the minute you say to an archetype, stay out of my dreams, stay out of my life, get ready, because there they'll start to come. The one thing I will never do is be a lover. Watch. Just watch it. Just watch it. The one thing I will never do is... Anytime you hear yourself saying never or always, look out. Those are the words, I think, I'm in a little jest here, I think the gods are just waiting, and God in God's incredible vastness is waiting to say, do you think you have it figured out? Well, how about this? Because you have to understand what God wants. God wants a oneness, wants the only thing on this planet that is present is the love that pulsates between all consciousness. There was a question asked not long ago in a workshop situation about that wonderful feeling of when you fall in love and the amazing excitement of that feeling of falling in love. And the question was, is that an irrelevant mistake that's just brought about so the species of the race can continue, or that mortgage companies can make more money against house loans, or whatever it might be? What is that mysterious wonder? And the answer is already, you know this within you, but the answer is very simple. If you can remember that feeling and the wonderful sense of beauty and well-being that you felt within yourself and for everyone that you saw, regardless of what they were doing. They could have been doing the one thing that you absolutely hated, and you're going, oh, isn't that nice? Lots of room in my life for that. Now, what I want you to ask deeply inside your being, is it possible that that feeling is what was hoped for all of you to each other, regardless of who you were? Because that is the answer. That is the prototype of love consciousness. Not the kind that says, ah, this is possessive, I must have you. But that feeling inside, where everyone you look upon, you're filled with love because you are yourself in love. Am I recommending that you all run out and fall in love? Well, in a sense, I am, but not with anyone else. Maybe you've tried that, and you've seen how limiting that can be very quickly. Does this mean you shouldn't fall in love? Well, try and stop it. I have no fear of saying that, because I know if it's your destiny to fall in love, you're going to fall flat on your face. And the world is going to say, what are you doing that for? And you're going to say, I haven't the foggiest idea. But I am in love, all right? Whatever it is. And you know, my friends, you fall in love with many things. You fall in love with spiritual teaching. You fall in love with archetypes of God consciousness. You fall in love with Christ. You fall in love with life. You fall in love with the planet, with your job. Wouldn't it be wonderful to fall in love with your job? Just to fall in love with your job. Every day, that bliss, I'm going to my job. So the falling in love is part of this process that we are pointing toward the difficulties that come with terror and with grief. So let's talk a moment about that. Just as when you begin to remember and state in your frightened psyche, there is a space where you are not alone. There is a space where God is alive and embracive and compassionate and yearning for you to turn your awareness toward it. Just as you begin to remember that, you find yourself easing deeper and deeper into that consciousness. At the same time, the whole knowing and wonder of being in love, being in the presence of love, begins to come and flow towards you when you begin to move your awareness in those directions. Do you follow me? It's the very same process. You just begin to become alive to the knowing that love is just in the same way that God is ever present, so is love ever present. And as you begin to move your awareness to that without knowing anything about how to get it, and just with the desire or the willingness to fall into love, you will find yourself doing that. You will find the love is beginning to sweeten your mind, your emotions, your heart, your body, your eyes, your vision. You start to see with love instead of with limit. It's amazingly exciting, and you don't have to know how. People come and they say, I don't know how to love, and I say, you don't know how to stop it. You don't know how to stop the love. Because the love is what your nature is. That is the basic being of you, is love. That is what you are. Look, you have to make a choice. If God created you, in whatever way your mind tells you that, if God created you, then you must be the substance of the Father. If you don't like the word, then you must be the substance of the Mother Father. You must be the substance of the Creator. You must. And if you are the substance, then you have to ask yourself, is my definition of who I am my definition of God? Is God then egotistical, limited, selfish, unaware, lacking in compassion? I'm asking you to join your logic to your awareness here. If you are a product of the source, then you must carry what the source carries. You must. And if that is so, then you know the one thing that everyone who has experienced God says is, God is love. I have never heard anyone come to God realization and say, just a mean. mean. Everyone are on their knees in incredible awe of the immensity of the love without condition. Without condition. Do you exist? Yes. Then you're loved. That's it. So this kind of remembrance that the substrata of your being is love, just as it is God awareness, as it is all of the beautiful verities that you seek. When you begin to remember that and place them in your mind moment after moment, however incompletely, you begin to merge more and more with those energy fields of consciousness. Now, back to the original discussion, which is the terror. The thing that happens is in the physical body itself, the heart begins to beat faster, the breath begins to change, the whole way of seeing. What happens in real terror and grief is your eyes begin to squint down. Whether you're doing it consciously or not, everything closes in. All the parts of your body begin to close in. You slam the gates shut because you are afraid that if you let any more in, it will be so overwhelming that you will die, that you will break apart, that you will become insane, that you will lose everything, consciousness, whatever it is. So, do you understand? The first thing you do is to close yourself off. Now, I want you, please, whenever, if ever it needs come again, if you are ever finding yourself in the midst of that, I want you to remember what we have just said. As you become aware of and let yourself feel the closing down, feel it, be with it, feel it in the body. Don't run. And in the next moment, you can will yourself to open. You can will yourself, you can will yourself to open. You do it all the time. What is love? In the face of fear, it opens its heart. That is the definition of love. In the face of anything that might in some way be difficult for you, what the lover says is, I am here and I will open because I love you. The lover doesn't say, well, get over it, honey. I'll be back. I'll be back in a few years. Hope you've taken care of it by then. What is your criteria for someone loving you? Is if they stand by you through all of your circumstances, through the difficulties, through the pain, through the loss, through the sorrow, through the fear. That is a definition of love. And you follow that definition as best you can inside yourself. And when you fail that standard, you know you have failed not yourself, but in some way you have failed to trust. You have failed to trust that there is this substance, this magnificent something called God, called love, called whatever, that if you just put your mind on it, will begin to move through you. Look, we've said it just to remember. You plus God equals creation. Try and create without God. People say, I am going to create my own life. And then they proceed to create right out of their unconscious, over and over and over again. The only thing that you need to remember in the act of creating is what energy source are you pulling towards you to give you the necessary energy in order to create anything. Now, Dr. Chopra, who is soon going to be one of the great leaders, I think, in the health movement, perhaps in the world, has made this discovery, or has brought to light the discovery, which I think you can remember from about 10 years ago, that you are mostly space. Remember? You are mostly space. Now, what does this mean? This means inside of your physical body, you are, what do they say, 99.9999% space. That's a lot of space. I'd like for you, please, to begin to ponder in your being, if I have so much space in there, what is the nature of that space? And what does it do for me? What is it? How can I access it? What's it all about? It's a lot of space. If you are 99.9999, that which you call you, which is certain, you would never describe yourself as space. Who are you? Well, Mac says, I'm space. Well, Mac might say that. Do you understand? You never describe yourself as being space. Spacey, maybe, yes, but never space. So that which you are paying attention to is a very, very small, is it 0.00001, is that right? Is that close enough? Close enough, I'm sorry. Something, very small amount, is the you that you keep defining yourself as. And you keep going back to it and back to it, a redefinition, a readjustment, a realignment. I know what's wrong with me. It's that 0.00001%. I've got to fix it. I've got to fix it. And so all of your awareness goes toward that small percentage. Do I think that's wrong? Of course not. Do whatever you want. But I'm asking you to remember that you are paying a tremendous amount of attention to a very small part of your awareness, of your being, of who you really are. All of that other is rambunctiously around, and your attention is not on it. So how do you use this space? You use it by remembering the basic principle. I have told you that that which you call space, if you look in this room and notice, this is a tremendous amount of space in this room. Now, this means that there's a lot more of that, whatever that is, than there is of you, whatever you are. And it's here for a reason. You know, it wasn't just a mistake. You know, God turned his back and you all created space when he wasn't looking. You know, we're going to get it. So, within all this wondrous space is all of that which you're seeking. You know, please understand, you've got to get an understanding in your body. Where does God reside for you? If God does not reside on this earth plane, is only in some heaven, then you're going to have to work on how to get there, and I can't help you with that. But there are lots of people that can. My job is a little different. My job is to excite you about the reality that as you look at anyone, you are looking through the God substance at them. As they look at you, they are looking through the God substance at you. You are immersed in a sea of God. You're drowning in it and all the time saying, God, where are you? Come, God, I miss you, I miss you. Blubble, 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 blubble. Where are you, God? You're hiding. I know you're hiding from me. And here it is. Here it is. So 99.99 whatever percent inside, an amazing space outside. The more that you can begin to tell your psyche that all you want to do is to balance the inner and the outer so that you feel that vastness outside, that you feel it inside as well, you just begin to make these desires known to the psyche, and the psyche begins the job. Remember, you plus God equals creation. Your part is to say, this is what I would like to experience. My love, my beauty, my vastness, my humor, my total compassion for all, regardless, for all. You don't know how to get there. If you have a certain set of rules, by all means follow them. I just ask you not to impose them on others because their rules might not be your rules and yours might not be theirs. So all love and compassion for others, whatever their path, no path ever should be negated. It's simply your responsibility. What is yours? Where does God reside? And how are you going to access it? Ask yourself directly. If you have a mental understanding that you have to do certain rituals, please do those rituals. If you believe you have to live a certain kind of a life, for heaven's sake, start living that kind of life. Whatever it is that you are in touch with, begin exuberantly to do it. I have told you before, and I will tell you again, look to the next few years. You want a lot of rocket fuel for your voyage home, you're going to get it. And that is not a negative statement. That comes from the deepest heart of awareness that I can present to you. And all I ask you is to hold to the simplicity of what's being asked of you, is to activate the compassion and the love and the non-judgmental wonder of your true being, which is 99 point whatever percent of what you are. And if you'll stop being so addicted to that small percent and allowing the bigger, bigger, vast you begin to move with you, then you will see exactly and feel exactly what we mean. Now, how to do it? Oh, my friends, there are so many ways. But the simplicity of it is to, every time your eyes are open, if you'll just be aware that you are looking through the godness of consciousness at whatever it is you're looking at, that it is there. And as, look, all these great discoveries, they say now in the scientific laboratory, oh my goodness, they've discovered that the attitude of the researcher, the scientist who's looking at the research project, has something to do with the project. Very good. Very good. Now, you've known this in all other aspects of your life. You know that your attitude towards your child in any moment has a tremendous amount to do with the net product of you and that child. You know it about your lovers, your parents, you know it, you know it. But so what is the wonder that we're trying to get you to? Is to realize that whatever is present is affecting you constantly. And what is the one constant affecting you? It's God. The one thing that you cannot escape is God. It is in you. It is around you. It is what you came from. It is what you return to. It is what it is. It is what you are. It is. And it is constantly in and around in all moments, closer than hands and feet. What does that mean? Closer than hands and feet. So what is the only consistent that we can give to you? It is the statement that whatever is happening, God is the medium through which you are creating. All right, you say, but I'm creating in my mind. Well, thanks to science, we now know that your mind is full of space. Thank you. So, with this knowing that out of the, for example, some of you try to, you sit down to meditate. All right. And here comes your day. Here comes your life. Here comes nonsense. Here comes anything. Here you go. Your mind is going. And you're trying to stop. Have you felt that? I've got to stop this. I've got to stop thinking. So, of course, now you're thinking about stopping thinking, you see, but you're still thinking, and it's going. And so pretty soon that gets boring, so you go back to thinking about, well, I wonder how long it'll take me to get to my job. And so there you are. All right, now, what to do? I'm just going to make this suggestion, and if it doesn't apply and or appeal, forget it. I'd like for you just to become very aware of your thinking. I want you to feel your thinking. I want you just to feel your thinking. When you're sitting there trying to calm down, the thing that stands in the way, usually, unless you have a physical difficulty, is that you are thinking. Instead of trying to run away from thought, I want you, please, to just put all of the wonderful power of your awareness on what it feels like to think. Don't worry about the thoughts. Just pay attention about how it feels to think. Do you understand? You go, I don't understand. What you do, if you'll begin to practice, it's very simple. Just become aware of what feelings are around thinking. What does it feel like to think? As you sit there hour after hour, you no longer have to get rid of anything. Let us go back to this morning early. The difficulty with enlightenment is you have to be in a state of relaxation. One of the things that happened to Paul Saul as he was running forward to do whatever he intended to do about Christ was when he had that accident, he went into total relaxation. Total relaxation. And in the coming out of the relaxation came the awareness. Many of you have had, through various kinds of physical imposed relaxations through surgery and so on, some amazing experiences. Why? Does God like surgery better than running around? Well, no. But it's the relaxation. It's the taking the pressure away. So I ask you when you meditate, if you make that another pressure point, without relaxation, you are working against it. So the sweetest thing to do is to sit there and become so gently aware that the one thing you can do is not to stop your thoughts, but just to be aware of them, just to feel them. And the thoughts will begin to quiet themselves down. The whole point of today is to remind anyone who is in any kind of stress, whether it's small or immense, that each moment they have a choice of moving from that perception in the very next moment to another perception. There is no consistent you. You move from one belief to another, from one emotion to another. You are like liquid fire, moving through all these creations, amazingly beautiful, and you just move from one facet to the other. And as you begin to become aware of that, you will not be trapped in your grief. You will not be trapped in that feeling of terror. You will realize in the next moment, even if it's just for a moment, you can move out of it. So practice it. It is only a momentary thing. And then let us say the ritual comes back. Be aware of it, remember, and just move to the next. If you begin to practice this in the midst of your worst fears, the most painful situations in your life, then you do what is magnificently wonderful, which is you are using the fuel, the rocket fuel of your pain and your fear and your grief to rocket you home. Using it in those moments, instead of in the sweeter moments of comparative relaxation and quiet, begins to form an energy field inside of you that takes on a power so that you can, in the midst of, some of you have already done this, in the midst of your most terrifying disasters, have had the most amazing openings of consciousness. How do you do it? You just become willing to take your energy out of the grief for a moment, play through your mind images of vast love, peace, wonder, beauty, light, whatever it is. Force them into your darkness. Force them if you have to. And then back to the darkness. Force them back. Because one of the reasons that you stay in the darkness when others are lost, you say through death, is this worry that they're going to think that you don't love them if you're not immersed in grief. And the truth is that they would be very happy for you to be out of the grief, because there's no question that where they are, they have a sense of their vaster awareness, which is what they would pray for you, which is what they would tell you if they could, which is to, as soon as you can, drop through into the vastness. Now, the final thing I will say about grief and fear, when the grief is for someone else who's died, or the fear that someone you deeply love is going to have to go through pain, suffering of any kind, I'd like for you to remember one thing. That feeling that you have is filled with love. Your fear for them is filled with love. You would not have the feeling if you didn't love them. You simply wouldn't have it. Because people are having terrifying things happening to them all around you. And although your compassion may arise, the terror does not. That incredible clutching of personal fear does not. So in the midst of whatever, please acknowledge, in the midst of this, there is my love. My love forms a part of this pain. My love is one of the most powerful feelings in this situation. And when you do that, especially in the face of fear, then you open up your space. You become larger. Vastness has a better chance. Because the thing that is so awful about those feelings is that you feel they are worth nothing. That you are just in darkness, and there is no light in darkness. And I want you to know that in the midst of whatever that terror or the feeling is, the motivation is your compassionate heart. And by acknowledging that your love is a part of it, the whole situation softens. Can you get a sense of what I'm saying? The whole situation softens. You realize that in the midst of this, this is a temporary nightmare. And you begin to focus on that which is the vastness of consciousness, which is God, which is love, which is whatever you want. And it begins to give you a breathing space. It's a very important word. A breathing space. You begin to feel a breathing space in the midst of that. So I ask you to run that awareness through it. In the midst of a difficulty that is even not that strong, let us say you and someone who is close to you are in an altercation. Never happens to anyone in this room, I'm sure. You're all past that. But if it should happen again, sometime in your future, you find yourself in a difficult situation. Because part of the difficulty is, as you're also judging the other, screaming and yelling, stop it, stop it, stop it, don't you see what you're doing? Well, of course, what you were saying to yourself is, stop it, don't you see what you're doing? In the moment that you are filled with this, would you just remember one of the primary motivations for this whole upset is the love? It is the love. You do not get that upset with people that you are indifferent to. In fact, remember the experiment that they do, or did at Vista Grande School often, three groups of beans in three jars, everyone treated precisely the same, except first group gets love, second group gets nothing, third group gets nasty thoughts. Doesn't surprise you that group one, the first, the one that grows the most, is those that are loved. But it might surprise you that group two is the one that is most abused. The last one is the one that's ignored. And you know why. Because there's no energy going to give life. So as you begin to have your difficulties, I ask you to honor, however strangely you might be manifesting it at that time, to honor inside of you the knowing that you are in the situation because you love. Just to keep remembering love in the face of all of that brings in the very thing that you need, which is the love. Love for yourself, first of all, and love for other So no matter what you are doing, no matter what you are saying, no matter what is happening in your world, my beloved, please remember the love. And in so doing, love will begin to creep in and around. You know, God's waiting there. Any moment at all, invite me, I'm ready. If God could speak, say many things, but one thing that would be said is, I'm ready. Just ask, and I'm ready. Knock, and I'm there. Anytime, any place, under any situation. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be anything other than just what you are, but you have to say, let me in. In the midst of this mess that I've created, come in. It's a choice. Do you want to solve your dilemmas with love and compassion and human understanding? Then let in the one energy field that can do it for you. Don't wait until you're perfect. Have you noticed, darlings? I don't think you're going to get there. There's no way for you to become perfect by the standards that you have set for yourself. Because strangely enough, the standards for your perfection are the kinds of things that are only in the hands of the truly, totally enlightened. So what you are saying is, in order to get enlightened, I have to have all of the qualities and the consciousness of someone who's enlightened. My friends, doesn't that seem a bit strange to you? It isn't going to work. So what do? You let that wondrous wonder in every moment that you can. And when you are in the stress, just let it in. However imperfectly, it will begin to move. So, the sorrow of deep grief, the sorrow of deep fear, is that it seems that that is all that there is. And your days and your nights are filled with nothing but that darkness. And all that we are asking is to please allow yourself to move out of that prison, just however briefly, and allow it to do what it can do. You know, in many of the great books for God realization, they talk about people like Job in the midst of all of his difficulties, screaming and yelling. And the answer is, God prefers you screaming and yelling to ignoring. And one of the subtle ways that you ignore it is in the midst of your own pain and suffering, you somehow leave that outside. So just let it in. It doesn't have to be perfectly. It doesn't have to be with any great grace. It just has to be a willingness. You're caught, you're dark, you're lost. Just begin to remember what you already know. To remember the vastness of who you are and what you are. Just remember and remember and remember. And every time you open your eyes, be aware that you are seeing everyone and every event through a sea of God consciousness. That's the medium through which you see. Become aware of it. And use it. It's here for you. Now, pulsating with all that you want. And when you become aware and dwell on the peace and the wonder that's inside of you, that's in all of that space, you begin to join the inner and the outer. And soon, remember the curtain of consciousness we've talked about? It becomes very, very thin. This shell of you, individualized, small you, becomes clearer and more full of light. And you find yourself all of those wondrous things that you thought you had to wait to feel. So, you can do it now, or you can do it later. But I promise you, you will do it. Because when you equalize the God outside with the God within, then you know. You know who you are. You know what you are. You know what God is. You know it. And in that moment of total enlightenment comes the light. Forever. Forever. It's worth it, my friends. So practice. 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 Simple. I would like to thank all of you for coming this day. And if you'd like to stay, you'll have a meditation. If not, some of you I'll never see again. Go into your space with God and all love. And thank you all for coming.